Father in heaven, we're thankful today for the Sabbath day. We're thankful that we can spend time in your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us, guide us, and lead us. And we thank you. We come in Christ's name. Amen. Well, have you ever been asked to preach and you kind of don't know what to preach about? Has this ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you that you've been asked to preach and you don't know exactly what you should talk about? Anybody? How many of you have never been asked to preach? Okay, so maybe that doesn't apply to you. That's kind of been, you know, my quandary today. And I was very clear about what I should preach about at 11:30, which is the next service I preach at. But today, someone sent me an email this morning that made me recognize that probably, even though I don't want to preach about it, I should preach about something else. So I'm going to do that this morning with the risk of getting in trouble. And what I want to talk about today, a message is entitled, Go Show Yourself to the Priests. Go Show Yourself to the Priests. So I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter what? Luke chapter 17. And we're going to just have a little Bible study this morning. Luke chapter 17. Now remember that Luke was a physician. And so Luke is a favorite of mine to study because, you know, I like medical things and being involved in those medical missionary work. I've especially enjoyed the Gospel of Luke. So let's look at Luke chapter 17, and let's pick up the story in verse 11. So now it happened, as he went through the midst, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, he met him 10 men who were, there met him 10 men who were what?
Lepers,
who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, normally, what did lepers say? They didn't say that normally. What did they say?
Unclean.
They would cry out, unclean, unclean. And this lepers, instead of crying out, unclean, unclean, they said, have mercy on us. But they stood afar off, right? Why did they stand afar off? Because they had leprosy. Now, this word leprosy is mentioned 55 times in the Old Testament, 13 times in the New Testament, and most likely meant a variety of infectious, what? Infectious what? Skin diseases, even mold or mildew on clothing and walls. The precise meaning of leprosy in both the Old and New Testaments is still in dispute, but it was infectious disease of some type where they were asked to stand afar off and cry out unclean. So this was actually a contagious disease. And they were asked to actually also cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. So they were asked to do what? Social distance and cover their faces. All right. They stood afar off. Numbers 5:1. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 1 in our study. The Lord said to Moses, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone has a discharge, and everyone who becomes defiled by a corpse. You should put out both male and female. You should put them outside the camp, that they may not defile the camp in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. What were the lepers supposed to do as a result of their disease? Leviticus 13:45. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache. How do you cover your mustache? Was it just a piece of tape? No, it was everything from the mustache down. And cry out, unclean, unclean. So instead, these people in Luke 17 were crying out, Jesus, have mercy on us. So how did Jesus respond in verse 14? Luke 17, verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were what? They were catharzo. We get the word cathartic from this word catharzo. We get the word catharsis. We get the word catheter. All these words that we use in nursing or the medical arts are from this word catharzo. And so he goes, go, show yourself to the priest. And so as they went, they were what? Cleansed, right? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, the word there is sozo, made whole, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 catharzo? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you what? Sozo, has made you complete, has made you healed. So Jesus sent this leper who he knew was infected. He was infected on the way to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. So what happened when people would go and show themselves to the priest? Why did Jesus say, go show yourself to the priest? I mean, he healed the man. He knew the man was going to be healed. But he says, go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because Jesus had actually set up the public health system. He had actually set up the system of priests. The priests were the physicians of the day. And he had set that system up. So when you went to the priest, you know, if you want to see what happened, just go back to Leviticus chapter 13. Go back to Leviticus 13 and see what happened when you would go to the priest. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when a man has on skin of his body a swelling, a scab, a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest and to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall examine the sore of skin on the body. And if the hair of the sore has turned white, the sore appears to be deeper than the skin, it's a leprous sore. The priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. So when you went to the priest, what happened? You were tested. You had what you might call mandatory testing. So you were tested. You couldn't say, my conscience tells me I should not be tested. You couldn't say, freedom of conscience indicates I will not listen to the physician. This was not an option. Because what was associated with leprosy was death. If other people got leprosy, they might die from leprosy. And you do not have freedom of conscience to kill people. Does that make sense? You cannot say, all right, I consciously think that Noah needs to die today, so I'm going to kill him, and I just want you guys to let me do that. How many think that would be positive? No. And by the way, you have no freedom, according to the Ten Commandments, to kill people, to rape people, to steal from people, to lie from people, lie to people, or even think negatively towards them. Thou shalt not covet. These are all mandates in the Ten Commandments. And in Romans chapter 13, it says the government is ordained to actually protect you. How many of you are thankful that there are police that follow up on the mandate that you can't be killed? How many of you are thankful for the police? Well, what do you say to them? Well, no. Stop. No. Put your gun away. This freedom of conscience. He can kill me if he wants to. How many of you would argue that? No. It's okay. You can have sexual liberties with my children or my wife or my spouse. It's okay. Freedom of conscience for you. No. And the law was set up in the Old Testament to actually protect people and mandate you can't kill someone else, you can't rape someone else, you can't steal from someone else, you can't even lie to someone else, and you can't even think in your mind that you would kill them. If that comes out, that's called premeditated murder, and you're going to go to jail much longer for that. How many are thankful for the scriptural mandates of the last five commandments? And how many are thankful that actually the Bible says the government should enforce those? How many of you are thankful for that? So there are, in fact, mandates that go against what you might think is right or wrong. Can your conscience actually be wrong? Can it be completely seared and wrong? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? Because that's the way that leads to death, because the person is not what? Delighting in the law of God and meditating day and night. So a person that's with people that actually don't meditate on God's law are going to have seared consciences, and they're going to be a problem. So Jesus, in sending people back to the priests, were actually sending them to people who they actually had to surrender their ideas to. Wait a minute. You're saying I'm not better? I think I am better. No. You're still outside the camp. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? You had to actually surrender your ideas to that of the God-ordained physician slash priest in this scenario. Let the priest examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if a bright spot, verse 4, is white on his skin of his body, does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one that has the sore for 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, the sore is not spread, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine again on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore has faded and the sore not spread, then the skin shall pronounce the priest shall pronounce him clean. Of course, if it had not been clean, it's another 7 days. It's another 7 days. But if the scab should spread over the skin after the priest has seen him for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab is indeed spread, then the priest will pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. And it keeps going. When the leprous sore is on a person, this is Leviticus 13:9, he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall examine him. If the swelling on the skin is white, etc., etc., it is an old leprosy on the skin. The priest will pronounce him unclean, and I shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And it keeps going. Pronouncement, no pronouncement, examination, no examination. It's testing, examination, quarantine, covering the face, all through the whole chapter. And so this is what Jesus was referring to. I mean, you read the whole chapter. There's 59 verses. And it's basically mandatory testing through the whole chapter. It's isolation. It's also masking. And this is what Jesus was referring to when he said in Luke 17:14, go, show yourself to the priest. And so as they went, they were cleansed. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus come to this world? Luke 19:10, I heard it out there, two chapters away. To seek and save that which was what?
Lost.
You see, in our with our nature, whether it be our human nature as it relates to our mental abilities or our even natural immune system, we needed help. How many think we needed help? Do people spontaneously get healed from blindness? Do they spontaneously get healed from anything, really? Each of us has been given a natural immune system. Each of us has been given a mind. But the heart is desperately wicked, and who could know it? Our mind is actually diseased. And without a special interposing by God Himself, we're all lost. How many of you understand that? We're lost physically, we're lost emotionally, we're lost mentally, and we're lost spiritually. We need the divine nature to overwhelm our human nature, yes or no? A lot of people like to talk about how their human nature is good enough. It's not. You need to have the divine nature that comes to you from claiming the promises of God. How many are thankful for the promises of God? Without the promises of God, you're lost. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So when Jesus comes, let's talk about the physical area. When he comes as the master clinician and physician, does he come to people that are sick and say to them, well, I created a natural immune system and that should be good enough for you? Does he say that? Does he ever say that? No, he does not say that. Does he say to Peter's mother-in-law who has a fever? Fever comes from what? An infection of some type. Does he say to her, oh, just be warmed and fed. Your natural immunity will kick in. God bless. No, he doesn't do that. In fact, he would, and by the way, some people say he only healed people that asked him to. That is patently untrue as well. You don't even breathe without Jesus. Every breath you take is a miracle that was performed on your behalf, whether or not you believe. He causes the rain to pour on the righteous and the unrighteous, and he actually allows you to live even though you're sinful. Because he would like you to see his gratitude in doing those miracles and then respond in gratitude and respond to his love and be able to be ultimately healed. How many of you are thankful for the miracles God does for you even though you don't ask for them or even if you don't want them? I have a friend that works over in San Francisco on the suicide hotline for people that want to jump off the bridge. And when he answers the phone, what he says is, sounds good. Let's go with your conscience. Go ahead and just jump. Does he ever say that? No. I used to work in a psychiatric unit where people had tried to kill themselves multiple times. Do I go into the room and say, I am so sorry, so sorry that we have been trying to go against your conscience? Kill yourself. Do I ever say that?
No.
No, because I know that they're not thinking right. So, Jesus comes. There's this communicable disease of leprosy. And he heals these people. And by the way, when Jesus healed, do you think that he had something better than ivermectin? How many think he had something better than ivermectin? How many think he had something better than hydrochloroquine? How many think he had something better than vitamin D? How many think he had something better than vitamin C? How many think he had something better than any remedy you've ever heard of? In fact, he provided them with supernatural immunity. Not just natural immunity, supernatural immunity. But even though he does that, this is what's interesting in this text. Even though he has all of those remedies, he can heal a hurting world. Even though he could heal whole villages when he went through, he does not say, "You're just healed, go back into society." What does he say instead? Go. Show yourself to the priest. Now, did Jesus have multiple trials and do studies before he sent people to the priest? Did he do that? No. Sending them to the priest was the study. The priests were going to be the ones saying, "Oh, wait, look at that. Look at that. Look at that." And did the priest see that Jesus actually had a better treatment plan than anyone else? And it actually says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 that a great number of the priests ultimately believed. And it was largely because what did Jesus do? He healed people and then sent them back to the who? To the priests. Now, by the way, let's look at these priests just for a minute. Let's look at these priests just for a minute. Because you might think that, you know, these priests were pretty good people. But look at Matthew 23. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not." And so the priests ended up being pretty bad people. And a matter of fact, very bad, if you read the rest of the chapter. Hypocrites, all kinds of things. And yet Jesus still says, "Show yourself to the priests." I mean, how many of you think Caiaphas was a good guy, the head priest? How many think there were some pretty bad priests? And yet Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priests." Now, I don't want to just apply this too rigorously, but how many of you think that people today think public health officials are not to be trusted? Have you ever heard this? How many of you, they actually point to things they did wrong? They point to lies they made on national TV. And they say, "See, you can't trust them for anything." Is that happening at all? Has anyone heard this? They are not to be trusted. Don't go show yourself to the priests. Don't even listen to the priests. But what did Jesus say? Go show yourself to the priests. And by the way, someone else came to him once and said, "You know what? Should we pay our taxes?" And Jesus said, "Absolutely not. Don't pay your taxes. They don't deserve a red cent." Is that what he said? What did he say? "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and under God what's God's. Pay your tithe, but also pay your tax." Now, I've visited lots of people in jail. Well, maybe not lots. Maybe two or three people in jail who decided that they were not going to pay their taxes. And they went to jail, and I gave them a Bible study to show them that they actually should be paying their taxes. And they said, "Man, I really wish you would have studied this with me before I was in jail." Anyway, was Jesus an anarchist? Would Jesus have gone on social media and wrote terrible things about all the public health officials of his day? Would he have done that? Would Jesus have gone on social media and written about why you should not pay your taxes? Would Jesus have done that? No, I don't think you can make the case. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Of course, he wanted to reach the priest. He desired to give them evidence of his healing power and love. And ultimately, as a result of the example of Christ, a great number of people believed. Now, sometimes people are offended by, you know, Christ's methods. They didn't like the fact that he used supernatural means to bring healing. The devil never likes healing. He wants disease, suffering, and death. The thief cometh not but to hurt, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil wants people to die rapidly and in misery as soon as possible. And the Lord wants people to live and live eternally. The priests could not heal. They could only assess, diagnose, and treat with very rudimentary things in Jesus' day. Isolation, covering of the mustache. And of course, you remember the story of the reluctant leper Naaman. How many remember the story of Naaman, the reluctant leper, who was in a foreign country, and the little maid said, you got to go see the prophet who can heal you. So Naaman went and was given a treatment plan that included multiple immersions in water. You might say hydrotherapy. And he didn't like it. He didn't like the treatment plan. He said, wait a minute. This river? My river is even better than this river. I think this is crazy. And by the way, why is the prophet social distancing from me? Why didn't he himself come out? Why does he send someone else out that's expendable, maybe with a gown on? I'm not sure. Why does he not come and treat me himself? So he's going home with all of his servants who are all infected as well because they're near him probably. And they go, wait a minute. If he would have asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And they start talking to him. And what does he do finally? He changes his mind. And what does he do? He does what Jesus said. He does what God said. And he's healed. If he would not have changed his mind, do you think he would have been healed? Do you think Naaman would have been healed if he would not have changed his mind? Probably not, right? Jesus chose as an act of mercy to heal the lepers in his day. There's no way their natural immune system would have overcome it. He chose to heal them. He did not say to the lepers, your immune system just needs to be trusted. It will eventually fight this off. Instead, he specifically intervened. He did something their natural immunity could not do. He supernaturally healed them. And when he did this, he did not send them immediately back into society, no. He sent them to the public health officials of the day, to the imperfect priests in the imperfect public health system that he himself had set up. He did this to reach the priests. He also did to send a message that he was supporting this flawed public health system. He was not an anarchist. He did not tear down the public health system of the day. Now today, you know, it's a very rough day for people here in America because everybody's fighting over vaccination versus no vaccination. And they hear all kinds of mixed messages. They hear people that they think are very credible that say to them, this is the worst thing you could do to your body. If you have this vaccination, you will probably have diseases and may in fact die. And then they also have spiritual leaders that say to them, if you have this vaccination, it is an act of no faith in God. And it's setting you up to have more acts of no faith in God. And essentially, you're going to follow the Antichrist when the Antichrist comes. And then you have people on the other side that say, no. Actually, if you get vaccinated, it can help you. And actually, it's kind, not only to yourself, but to other people that might get infected. And it's a public health issue. That's not a mark of the beast issue. How many of you are familiar with these various arguments? So people are so much at each other. I've actually, personally, I posted something on social media that posted what the Seventh-day Adventists health department had said back in 2015. And that is that the Adventist Church is in support of vaccinations. And that goes all the way back to 1905. And so they support that, although they also support the idea that people make their own conscientious personal choices. That's basically what the statement says. I happen to think that's a very good approach. And the reason I think it's a good approach is because it protects people to make a choice. So it's not taking away freedom of choice. But it's also saying, if you can do something that stimulates your natural immunity, we're not saying you can't do that either. And if you happen to believe that vaccines do that, then go for it. Does that make sense? And so it's not taking away freedom of choice, but it's also saying there is some validity to vaccines. Now, why would the Adventist Church say that? Well, one of the reasons is the Adventist Church actually is the vaccination poster child in one sense. What do I mean? During World War II and aftermath, there was something called Operation White Coat. Adventists were being asked to be involved in various armed conflicts. They didn't want to be for conscientious reasons. They did not want to kill people. So they said, we'll give you the option to be a part of the war effort by testing out various vaccines. You breathe in various viruses. You have various bacteria that are put within your system. And we see how you relate to those, how you can fight those off. In fact, 13 vaccines that are still in use were developed during that time period, and those vaccines have actually saved countless lives around the world. That's not an opinion, that's a fact. And so, while there's still freedom of choice, it's very interesting to me that many of these vaccinations that we know have saved lives were actually developed as a result of the sacrificial service of Seventh-day Adventists. Another thing that interests me is the entire attitude of not being willing to sacrificially serve. When the first plagues, pandemics, in ancient times hit very large cities, You know what Christians were known for? They were not known for trying to get away from the disease. They were known for running towards the city and taking care of the diseased individuals, even though it meant they would die. How many think that that self-sacrificing attitude is actually a good attitude? How many think that would be a good attitude? How many are thankful for the doctors and nurses and healthcare people that actually go into harm's way every day to take care of people? How many are thankful for that? And some of them, you know, for instance, when I worked in the hospital, I was asked countless times to get various shots for hepatitis C, for all kinds of stuff. And did I want to take those shots? No, not necessarily. I wouldn't have signed up and woke up in the morning, hey, let me get some shots. But did I want to help people in the hospital? So guess what I did? I took the shots. That was a long time ago. But part of my entrance into being able to serve people was to take those shots. Do you think I was wrong to do that? So I'm thankful for a church that has taken a position that does not vilify people for taking a vaccine and does not vilify people for not taking a vaccine. How many are you thankful for that kind of a church? How many are thankful for that? That is a well-reasoned approach, and they don't moralize over it. All right, you didn't get the vaccine, so you're somehow evil. They don't say that. Or you did get the vaccine, so somehow you are evil. They don't say that. How many are thankful for that? Now, I gotta say, you know, some people are really in trouble today. I mean, this last week, what went into effect were in the private sector, and also, I don't know if it's in the government yet or not, but I think that's what's suggested, is that mandates come down and people are going to lose their jobs. How many of you are praying for people that are involved in that? I am too, and I feel I'm not for mandates with vaccines, but I do know that people are going to lose their jobs over this because of their conscientious objection to it. And how many think we should pray for them? Now, I want to also just point this out. If somebody has a conscientious objection at that level, and they believe God is leading that way, how many of you believe that if God leads them that way, He will also sustain them in that way? How many believe that's true? So if someone says, as a doctor or nurse, I'm going to get fired rather than get this vaccine, how many think God will sustain them? As a matter of fact, Ellen White says, a prophet with the Adventist Church says this, Ellen White, she says that at the end of time, there would be thousands that have the training as physicians or ministers that don't work as physicians or ministers, but they're working in other means at the end of time. Did you know she says that? And so, in fact, if a person conscientiously believes that they should not receive a vaccine, and that means they can't work as a physician or a nurse, Ellen White already saw that and says there's plenty of work for them to do. Can you say hallelujah? They may not, in fact, get paid for that like they normally have, but they may get paid in other ways. People might pay attention to them. And there's going to be plenty of service at the last remnant of time, and even now, for medical missionaries that need to serve people that have not been vaccinated. How many of you think that's probably true? In fact, in the world today, there are large sectors of the world that you couldn't even get vaccinated if you wanted to because they don't have it. How many think those people need to know what to do and how to be served? So One very vitriolic post on my Facebook page, one of many, led me to actually make a phone call to somebody. And I was talking to this person that had a clinician who had made very strong statements that if you actually got vaccinated, somehow that was a part of the of bowing eventually to the beast power and etc. So I called them up and I said, you know, I saw what you wrote and I just want to listen because I may be missing something. So I listened for about an hour to what the person had to say. And as I did, the spirit of love for the person came over me because I realized how conscientiously committed they were to what they were talking about and how good a person they were. I have no question they love God. I have no question they love others. I have no question they even love me. So I told him, and I said, you know what? I am praying for every success in your ministry. I want you to know that. And I am. Because there's a lot of people that person is going to serve that no one else will serve. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Because there are people that are convicted they do not want to receive a vaccine. And how many think those people need excellent medical care? How many think they still need that? And this person is set up to do that. So how many want that person to be successful? Yes. Does that make sense? So the big thing is, I don't think, I'm just telling you now, this is just my suggestion based on what I've presented to you. And what I presented to you was in Jesus' day, there was a public health system. He did not tear it down. He referred people back to it. I would just say this, that because of what Scripture teaches and because of the present reality, I really do not think it's helpful for people to vilify one another over this issue. I do not think it's helpful for people to moralize and say that if you receive the vaccine, you're somehow a compromising, soon-to-be receiving Mark of the Beast recipient. I do not think that's appropriate. Likewise, I don't think it's appropriate for people who have been vaccinated and believe in that to say someone is stupid, ignorant, whatever they say. I think that is totally inappropriate. Does that make sense? And so in the spirit of Jesus, who brought every healing modality he could to bolster a person's natural immunity, which he had made and realized was not up to the total task, so he gave them supernatural help. And the spirit of Jesus who did that, while at the same time pointing to the public health system and said, don't yank it down. I think that's where we need to be. I am so thankful that on this campus we have a group of physicians and clinicians that could treat people like Lewis, who did not have the vaccine, and after a big struggle, a near-death struggle, that he saved for the cause. Can you say amen? He had hydrotherapy. He had all the things we talk about. And he also had a prayer of anointing. And he's sitting in church today, basically resurrected from the dead. Can you say hallelujah? And I say praise God for anyone that goes through that experience. Likewise, people who maybe have received a vaccination and have also avoided disease from that. My own personal testimony is my mother died of COVID-19. And my sneaking suspicion is that she may have caught it from me. I know that's a terrible thing to actually have to think about, but I was so sick for like 2 weeks. I tested negative for COVID-19 a number of times. But when I was really sick, my mother, being the nurse that she was, she came into my house. I was in delirium on my couch. And I woke up, and there's my mother with a washcloth putting it on my head. And she has some things for me. I said, "How long have you been here?" She says, "I've just been sitting by your side for about a half an hour." And I was like, "Please leave." I don't know if she caught this from me, or she caught it going out to the hairstylist, but she got COVID-19. And she died from COVID-19, bilateral pneumonia and COVID-19. That was the diagnosis. Immediately after that, as soon as I could get a vaccine, I got the vaccine. And so did my father, who's 89. Subsequently, over the last month, with the Delta variant and whatnot, although I don't know that there's testing right now that can tell you whether or not what you have is the Delta variant or not, but my children all tested positive for COVID-19. So they all have been going through COVID-19 in my house, along with me and my father. And praise God, we did not again go through COVID-19. I happen to believe, I may be wrong, you can disagree with me if you want, but I happen to believe that the vaccine afforded some protection. That's what I think. You can disagree if you want. Also, I would say, the people that are telling you, and I've actually been told this, it's only a matter of time that you will lose your spirituality if you get the vaccine. You're going to lose your spirituality because you've compromised, and you're going to lose your life. I've actually been told that. But I want to tell you, I believe that God has been leading in my life in more deeply profound and spiritual ways over the last 8 months than ever before in my life. Maybe I'll become an apostate because of the vaccine, but I don't think so. Even though I've received messages to that end. You guys are all looking like shell-shocked here. And maybe I should not have spoken about this. I'm not sure. But my message, my take-home message to you is that God loves you whether or not you got vaccinated or not. And God is working to save you whether or not you got vaccinated or not. And we should not be, in the church of God, allowing something to come in and divide us when really this is the time when we should be united. And that's the reason when I saw that quote a couple of weeks ago, after watching the vitriolic, piranha-like interchange on my Facebook page, that's when I said, wait a minute. Our greatest need is not to make a decision about no-vax versus pro-vax. Our greatest need in the church is revival and reformation. How many think that is the greatest need? It's the greatest need. And we're told that Christ could have come ere this if that would have happened. Ere this. Can you say hallelujah to that? Could have come ere this if that would have happened. So, personally, I'm focusing on personal revival, asking God to work in my life to bring revival and reformation, and praying also for corporate revival. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to them, "Arise, go your way. First of all, go show yourself to the priest, and then go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this time where we could talk about important issues. We know people, I know personally people, who have lost their lives. And I know people who have lost their jobs. And Lord, we ask for people that they would be able to find physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, but mostly spiritual healing in these times.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.